What are we to say then? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who have died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. These two are challenging words from the New Testament, this time the Apostle Paul. Well, I've told you before, I think, of some of my favorite books when I was a boy. There was a series, I love this series of children's history books that all began with the title, We Were There. They were history books that portrayed children about my age who were present at the important events of American history. We were there at the Battle of Gettysburg. We were there at the Boston Tea Party. We were there at the invasion of Normandy. There's even one called We Were There on the Oregon Trail, appropriate for our area and our region. And what I loved about these books is that I felt like I was indeed there at these important events. I was drawn into the stories, the events, and the famous people involved. I was with them. They were with me. I was there. I participated in those events. Well, the Apostle Paul in our text this morning from Romans wants us to know that we were there, that we are there, involved with, participating with, and in the life and death and resurrection, even the ascension of Jesus, and even the receiving, of course, of the Holy Spirit. We are intimately connected with these events. It's not just something that happened back then. As they happened to Jesus, they happened to us. It's not just history. It's something in which we participate. It's not just something that happens outside. It's something that happens inside us and in our lives. One of our great ancestors in the faith, John Calvin, once wrote, "As long as Christ remains outside us and we are separated from him, all he has suffered and done for the salvation of the human race remains useless and of no value to us." And that's the very thing that Paul wants to overcome, our sense of Christ outside, our sense of Christ back then, our sense of Christ over there or out there. That's the very thing that the Apostle Paul wants to overcome. And so we Paul often uses the phrase then, in Christ. It means that Christ is in us and we are in Christ. We are united with Christ, connected with Christ as a branch to the vine. Martin Luther once wrote, "You are so cemented to Christ that he and you are as one person which cannot be separated but remains attached to him forever." His wife, Katharina, put it more simply on her deathbed, "I will stick to Christ as a burr to a cloth." So we're saying then that we participate in Christ, that we're connected to Christ, Christ in us, we ourselves in Christ. But what exactly are we participating in? What are we exactly connected with? Well, in this section of his letter to the Romans, Paul again is making his argument about salvation for all people through the amazing grace of God in Christ, forgiveness of our sins, and the hope of new life in Christ. He says that nothing can overcome this grace. And at one point he even says, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So in our passage then, Paul answers the obvious question that comes up when we read where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. The question that's bound to come up, well, if grace abounds all the more in the presence of sin, shouldn't we just go on sinning so that grace will abound even more? Shouldn't we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? Now, Paul answers, nice try, but by no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? And then he connects us with Christ's death and resurrection. So the answer to the question then, what exactly do we participate in? We participate in Christ's death and resurrection. We were there. We are there. And Christ is here. Christ is there. Paul says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized, he emphasizes baptism here. We're not going to talk that much about baptism this morning, but you can see why he uses baptism, because baptism is an acting out of our going underwater and being drowned really to our old life and coming up again to new life. So Paul says then, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death. See the connection here. We have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. We were there. Christ's death and resurrection didn't just happen back then. They are happening in us and to us and with us today. We have died. We are dying and we are living again. Paul says, for if we were united, as some even add the translation, for if we were knit together, that's really the sense of the Greek word, for if we were knit together with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united, knit together with him in a resurrection like this. You see this unity we have with Christ, this connection with him in his death and resurrection. And so that's why Paul says elsewhere, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Paul, by his own life, is inviting us to live as little Christs today, because Christ is living in us and living as us. And there's something to think about. Christ living as us. We are all he's got, and he is living as us, as those who are in Christ, in our world today. And we're invited then to see our lives and our world in this mysterious pattern of Christ's death and resurrection. It's that mystery of death and resurrection and even ascension and spirit that comes, Pentecost too, that makes sense of our lives and our world. We can see this pattern at work in a variety of ways in our lives and our world, in our social lives, in our personal lives, and our church life as well. The events surrounding COVID-19 are a kind of crucifixion of our hopes and our dreams for the present. As we look toward and forward to summer, our dreams have sort of died or at least been put on hold. It's a crucifixion, certainly, of those who have died and of their loved ones and all of us who have suffered too, the isolation, the boredom that some experience in a time like this, the uncertainty and a fear of these days, economically, health-wise and other ways. And yet we live in hope of resurrection and renewal and what Paul simply calls newness of life. And perhaps the issues we face as a result of the unjust deaths of black Americans are an ongoing dying to the sin of racism in our country. We seem to somehow still be paying for the sin of slavery. We're still dying again and again and again. But maybe because of recent events, we'll begin to see clearly and we really will change. Maybe that's a possibility. And so we white American Christians must take a good hard look at this, a long hard look at the privileges that we have had that those of other races simply do not share in our nation. We are no longer a white Christian nation. And that may bother some. But we need, frankly, to get over it. And we simply must die to that position and privilege. Consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God, as Paul says, on this issue of race in our country. We live out the pattern of death and resurrection in our personal lives as well. A short time after we moved to Seattle, we got a dog. And the woman who gave us the dog called us a Disneyland family. I think she saw us as sort of the perfect family, you know, two parents, two children, now a dog, and, you know, nice Christian family and all that. But it didn't take long for us to discover that we were not at all the perfect Disneyland family, and all of us in my family have had to die to the hopes and dreams and expectations that all of us have for our families. I have suffered more with and in my family than I have suffered with and through anything in my life. And sometimes I feel as though I have been hanging on the cross right there. And I've experienced, and I know you have too, this kind of suffering. And it's a death. And it's a life, a new life, because we have hope too for our family and our life. There's death and life going on in our personal lives as well. And we see this mystery of crucifixion and resurrection at work in our church too. And the decades after World War II, Protestant churches thrived. Churches and denominations like ours, Presbyterians, Lutherans, and Methodists, others like ours, we were once referred to as the mainline churches. And now we feel as though we have been sidelined. We're not the mainline anymore. Our numbers are declining, our children have left, and we feel the crucifixion of our dreams and hopes for our church. And yet in this, we have hope and for new life and resurrection. We have new hope. Even as our old hopes die, we have new hope for what will be resurrected in its place. And so Paul says that if we have died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. We live through crucifixions and resurrections in our life, personally, socially, nationally, and all. We see this pattern at work. This is what we're trying to say this morning. This pattern is at work. Crucifixion, and we need to see our life in this pattern because then life begins to make sense. These things go together, crucifixion and resurrection. But we have to go through the crucifixion to make it to the resurrection. We have to die to sin in order to be alive to God. We have to die to the past in order to be alive to God. The pattern we've explored here also extends, as I've kind of suggested earlier, it also extends to Christ's ascension 40 days after his resurrection. The book of Acts, you know, tells us that Jesus was with the disciples for 40 days, and then on the 40th day or so, then was ascended to heaven. It took them 40 days to sort of get their heads wrapped around what was going on, and then they finally have to let go. And just as the disciples had to let go of the Jesus they knew as he ascended to heaven, so we have to let go often what we know about life and God. Let it go. Let it ascend. Let it go. And it's only then that the Holy Spirit comes in power. That's why Jesus said, "It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, the Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And the event of Pentecost in the New Testament, then that powerful coming of the Holy Spirit, only comes after Jesus ascends. Only after we let go does the Spirit fill us. So what else in our lives might we need to let go, even die to, so that we can experience newness of life and receive all that the Holy Spirit has for us? Christ's death and resurrection, they are our death and resurrection. We were there. We are there. And Christ is here with us. Amen. Well, there's no, we've already talked briefly about baptism, but there's really no better acting out of this death and resurrection for our time than the Lord's Supper. And in these elements, we see the crucifixion of Jesus, And we anticipate the resurrection of Jesus. So as we partake the bread and the cup this morning, we are acting out, living out our own death and resurrection, just as Jesus was crucified and risen. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to the table then, we're aware that we want to be so intimately connected with you, but that we often are not. We do feel this separation. And that's, of course, the way it will be for the rest of our lives until we live with you in eternity. But, oh Lord, we would want to draw closer in this life now. And so, Lord, we pray that you would connect us with those events that took place so long ago through this bread and through this cup, that by your Holy Spirit, this bread and cup would be for us the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. We pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, you can do this at home. We just have the bread and the cup here this morning. But you may want to take a moment to find your own bread and your own cup, whatever you like, whatever is convenient to you, and we'll have communion. There are three of us sitting here this morning, so we probably we're not sure how we'll do this together this morning. I think I'll just do it up here, and that way I stay here in the middle. But we'll go ahead and have communion now, and so get something that works for you for bread and for the cup. On the night that Jesus was arrested, then, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said to them, "This is my body given for you. Whenever you take it, do it in remembrance of me. Eat in remembrance of me." So take some bread now as you like. Why don't you come forward if you want. Just take some right out of the middle there. I haven't touched that.
It's a big piece.
Yeah. The body of Christ broken for us. In the same way, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the cup of salvation poured out in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." You all can have your own cup at another time. Let's pray together. Our God and Father, we're grateful to be in your presence this morning. Thank you for this bread and this cup. Though we cannot be together in person as a worshiping congregation, we are with you, and we still hold one another, our community and our world in prayer. We hold one another in the light of your love and grace. We still feel isolated and uneasy, Lord, anxious about the continuing spread of COVID-19. We're trying to get back to normal, but it's not happening easily, and we feel nervous, wanting to, but not quite ready to live freely and to interact with others. And so we embrace what we have, but we want to embrace the world, too, as the summer draws near. And we're disturbed by events in our nation that reveal the racism and injustice that continue to exist among us. So we simply throw ourselves on your mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord. We need you in our lives and in our world. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, your very image, your presence in a living and breathing human being. He shows us the path of life. Give us the desire and ability to live and be more like Him and to enter fully into His life, to participate, abide in Him as He invites us to do, as a branch abides in the vine. Help us to remember that we are in Christ as He is in us, and that empowers us to live this life. Thank You, Lord, for the fathers among us today. Fill our fathers with Your Spirit to live with faith, hope, and love in our families, our community, and our world. And Lord, give us hope. Hope that the upheaval of these past weeks might bring genuine change in how we view those who are different from us. Help us to see new opportunities in what's taking place, even as difficult as it is. Help us in the midst of crucifixion see resurrection. From the death we see bring new life. From the crucifixions of our lives bring us to a place of resurrection. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught His disciples and teaches us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, again, we hope that you have a good day with family and with loved ones. Happy Father's Day again. Looks like the weather is improving for the day, and we're looking forward to maybe summer getting here soon, we hope, even though today I think is actually the first day of summer. Maybe summer will really get here now. So the peace of Christ be with you, friends. The hope and love of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.